Well, John, it seems like the Lord is leading our minds along the same direction. The song, God Leads Us Along. I know many of you have experienced this, that it is God who leads us along. He's led some through the fire and some through the flood and some through the waters, but He's led us all through the blood. And in my young life, the Lord has never asked me to really suffer physically for Him, but He might someday. It's great comfort in knowing that each step we take, that the Lord is with us. And that's the title of the song, Mrs. Pinion, and I would like to sing for you tonight, Each Step I Take. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand, He leads the way. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground He ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken, each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith began to waver, when up ahead I see a chasm wide. 'Tis then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when He is in my side. Each step I take, I know that He to higher ground He ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken, each step I take just leads me closer. I trust the Lord, no matter come what may, He's life eternal, He is the way. He is the light that makes my pathway bright, and I'll see Him face to face one day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground He ever leads me on. Until someday just lead me closer home.
Now please open your Bible, will you, at John chapter 20. 20th chapter of the Gospel by John. We were looking last night at a very interesting character, Mary Magdalene, and our hearts were strangely moved as we saw the devotion and the love of that dear woman for the Lord Jesus Christ. She loved Him much because she'd been forgiven much And she proved her love in her wholehearted devotion and complete allegiance to his authority in her life. What a reward she got because of that wholehearted devotion. We saw the special verse number 11, but Mary stood. And because of her faithfulness and her fidelity and her love for him, the Lord appeared first to Mary. Remember, she was last at the cross. She was first at the grave. She was first to see the Lord, first to hear his voice, and the first one to be commissioned by the risen Lord. Now down to verse number 19, shall we? Verse 19. Then the same day evening being the Thursday of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. This is a wonderful chapter. It's so very full of meaning. In fact, each word is pregnant with meaning. And here we got the Lord Jesus now, coming into the upper room. He told the disciples in Matthew that he would meet them in Galilee. And we find him right here now in the upper room. And the doors are shut. And the windows are bolted. And yet as they gathered there in that upper room, the Lord himself appeared in their midst. Now isn't that just wonderful? I'm so glad I got a Lord who can see in the dark. Aren't you? I'm so glad I got a Lord who can come walking over the foaming billows through the bark of my life. Aren't you? I'm so glad I got a Lord and bolted windows and locked doors cannot keep him out. I got a Lord who is the Lord of the mountain top and is the Lord of the valley. The Lord will lead you through the valley, lead you right through the fire, and go right through with you. That's the Lord we've come to know. And because we know him a reality in our life, and proved it now for many, many years, we commend him to you. We want you to know him, not to become religious, or goody-goody, or sanctimonious, but we want you to come into a living, vital union with our living Lord. And we're going to look at him again tonight. I trust in the energy of the Holy Spirit himself. So he appeared here in their midst. And what happened? He just said, Peace be unto you. Now, isn't that just like the Lord Jesus? Maybe in this group tonight there's a heart that's actually torn. A heart that's completely old, topsy-turvy. A heart of which they're longing, a yearning, a terrific age. No one knows anything about but you and the Lord. You would never tell your nearest and dearest about it, not at all. But here is one who understands you perfectly and comes right into the little room of your own life and he says tonight, Peace be unto you. Thank God tonight he's the bringer of peace. He's made peace by the blood of his cross. He is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And he's right here tonight in this little room. And he's closer to you than your neighbor. And he's whispering peace be unto you. Oh, as a result, may you know that storm-tossed little heart of yours calmed into deep tranquility, into such a wonderful serenity. You look up and say, thank you, Lord. You're all you said you would be. Peace be unto you. And those are the bringer of peace. And says here, and I rather like this too. He showed them his hands. He showed them his side. Then were the disciples glad when they had seen the Lord. Beloved, our Lord is here tonight, not only as the bringer of peace. He is here as the inspirer of all true joy. Psalm 16:11. In thy presence, fullness of joy. Thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. And the Lord is here tonight as the inspirer of all true joy. When they had seen the Lord, their hearts were made glad. That's who we want you to see tonight. It's my own prayer, and I pray it many times during the course of the day. May thy beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. That's the desire of my heart, and I trust the desire of your heart. You come here with one purpose alone, to see him. And the Lord is here tonight, very definitely here, as the bringer of peace, and as the inspirer of all true joy. But something more. In the very next verse says here now, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. Now all are saved by his matchless grace, cleansed by the efficacy of his precious blood, knowing the joy of the indwelling Holy Spirit, is saying to you and is saying to me tonight, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And there's not one of us here who's come into personal contact with him, but who's been sent by the risen Lord, as risen men, as risen women, and boys and girls. We've been taken out of the world, sent back into this world, and we're here for one purpose alone, that your life and my life day by day may be an outshining, a reproduction of the life of Jesus Christ. We're here to represent him, that his life again may be relived in us and through us, the glory of God the Father. That men and women who lose sight of us but see him in all his glory and beauty and be attracted unto himself. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, to be no more I, but Christ who lives in me. Oh, the joy of recognizing we've been born to reproduce. That your life and my life may be a reproduction in the power of the Spirit of God, of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, as my Father sent me, he came to manifest, to declare, to show forth the Father. Do we not sometimes sing, thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestest to inherit and heaven's beloved One? The only way we can know God the Father is through the Son. And God revealed himself to us through his Son. And how can the Son be revealed to the world? Through you and through me and in no other way. He got two ways of revealing himself to the world. One is through the Word of God, the other through his people. Only your life and my life day by day be so yielded and controlled and dominated by the Holy Spirit. There will be an outshining of the indwelling Christ. The very demeanor, our deportment, our manner, our tone of voice will reveal the beauty and the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. As my Father sent me, so send I you. We've been sent by the risen Lord. There is an interesting character here, but he's not present at this particular gathering when the Lord appeared on that first Lord's Day. His name is Thomas. And during the week I hear the others saying to Thomas, Thomas, you missed yourself in Lord's Day. We had a wonderful time. The Lord appeared in our midst. We have seen him, Thomas. We've heard his voice. Thomas said, I will not believe it. I will not believe it till I have seen the nail prints in his hands and feet. So I put my finger into the nail print. So I thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe it. Now, I don't blame Thomas. I admire Thomas. Thomas is not going to be put off with any imposter. He wanted to see the Lord. He wanted to see the passion, the wounds of the passion at a place called Golgotha. Way yonder in India, we were there just recently. There was a dear lady in one of the villages who had been prevailed upon or asked to go to another village. They say the Messiah has come, he brings fire from heaven, he's healing the sick, he's raising the dead, he's doing many miraculous things. Oh, come over. The dear lady in her simplicity said, has he got the marks of the nails in his hands? That's it. Has he got the marks of the nails in his hands? She will not be put off with any impostor, and neither will Thomas. But may I suggest something? Thomas learned his lesson. We always miss out when we absent ourselves from the gathering together of the Lord's people. We're always the loser. And Thomas proved it that day. May I suggest something else? And Thomas is there first next Lord's Day. Oh, he's learned his lesson. And there they are gathered in the upper room. And Thomas is there. And once more the Lord appears and says, peace be unto you. And you know something? He had a personal word with Thomas. A personal word with Thomas. And it may be he's having a personal word with someone right here tonight. Yea, with all of us. Because the Lord is here. He understands us perfectly. Looks right down deep into your heart, down deep into my heart. And tonight, he said, Thomas, behold the nail prints. Behold my side. But then he came close and he said, Thomas, come close to me. Come close to me. Thomas could behold the nail prints from the distance. Behold the side from the distance, but the Lord had heard Thomas say, lest I put my finger into the nail print, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And the Lord is now taking Thomas at his own word. And he says, Thomas, come near to me. Is he saying that to someone here tonight? You really profess to love him, don't you? You profess to really know him. But in heart, you're far away from him. Externally, things are all right. But deep down in your heart, you know things are all wrong. Isn't that true? And the Lord is right here this very evening, closer to you than your neighbor, looking right down deep into your heart, and calling you by your own special name. He's saying, come near to me. Come close to me. Thomas, put your finger into the nail print. Thrust your hand into my side, be not faithless, but believing. Those verses of him come flashing to my mind. Gazing there, I sing so near thee. Close to me, his heart, his troubled pain. Thomas could behold from the distance. Oh, to touch those nail prints. To touch that spirit inside. He had to be very near. And just as Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me. Our lovely Lord is saying to your heart this very night, come near to me. And by faith, just put your finger again upon that nail print. Thrust your hand into my side. Thomas never did that, oh no. Thomas threw himself before the Lord and he cried, my Lord and my God. Thomas rose to matchless heights that day. Matchless heights. He had seen the Lord. He recognized him as his own personal Lord. He said, my Lord and my God. The Lord is here tonight. We want him to fill your vision, occupy your heart's affection, and we want each one of us to prostrate ourselves before him and cry, oh, precious Lord Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come and abiding, rule in my heart. Break every fetter thy face let me see. Then thou shalt ever be precious to me. Thy wounds, Lord Jesus, those deep, deep wounds will tell the sacrifice that frees us from sin and death and hell. We were in Honolulu, you know, explaining earlier this year for a crusade. God was moving in a very, very vital way. We extended the crusade for next week. That was the fifth week. God was working very deftly. Many nights we couldn't get the crowds into the building at all. More outside than inside. Ocean Beach Chapel. This particular night, and I'll never forget in all my life, I was preaching as I'm preaching now. There was a young man in that particular congregation. I didn't know him. He was a complete stranger to me. And I said, there may be another Thomas here tonight. Another Thomas. And the Lord is saying to you, Thomas, come close to me. Come close to me. That young man was the son of a godly mother and a godly sister. So I prayed much for that boy. His name was Thomas. And I didn't know. But the Lord spoke to Thomas that night. He dropped his head in his hands and began to sob. While I was waiting behind to be dealt with, he went up, breaking his heart. I had to leave the next day. He's gone to Los Angeles to start meetings there. And on the Wednesday, I got word from Honolulu to tell me that Tom had been shot and killed on the Sunday afternoon. He was a member of the underground gang. He was a leader of drug traffic. We are convinced. His loved ones are convinced. God met Tom that night and God saved his precious soul. He went and told the gang that shot him. He knew too much. A young girl going out later with her dog found his body there in some bushes. The Lord is calling someone here tonight. He's calling you by your own special name. I trust you'll respond to that entreaty. With all your heart, you'll come right through for him. And even as a believer, you'll prostrate yourself before him and cry. You've been wandering far away in heart, growing cold in heart. In John 21, the Lord says, "Lovest thou me more than..." We've been professing with our lips to love him, but do I really love him with all my heart? Do I really? The Lord is here tonight. Amidst us our beloved stands, and bids us view his pierced hands, poised to his wounded feet and sigh, blessed emblems of the crucified. Your heart said, "Lord, what are those wounds in thine hands? What does that wound in thy side mean, Lord?" These are wounds I received in the heart of my friends. I came, but they would not receive me. They rejected me and they put me upon a cross. They cried away with them, letting me crucify. The friend, I rejoice, the cross is empty. The tomb is vacated and tonight the throne is filled. And he by his blessed Holy Spirit is right here in our very midst. May our eyes be anointed tonight with eye salve. We shall lose sight of each other and see only Christ and hear him saying, "Beloved, come near to me. Come near to me." I like the way Thomas throws himself completely, unreservedly, unconditionally, in wholehearted contrition before the Lord and says, "My Lord and my God." Oh, I pray all of us will have that sight tonight. Our hearts too will be strange and moved till we cry with all sincerity, "Reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to thee in everything." Read these words. He was wounded for our transgression. Isaiah 53, verse number 5. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Years ago in the borders of England and Scotland, Miss Boz and I were cycling through the British Isles, going from door to door, from village to village, from town to town, having open-air meetings and preaching the word, doing tract distribution. This day we're standing outside a paper mill. Yonder between England and Scotland. A man came out, I handed him a gospel by John and said, "Sir, this gospel by John will show you God's way of salvation. Will you please receive it?" He stopped. He said, "If you can show me how to be saved, I'll be the happiest man in the world. My wife's saved, my family's saved, my in-laws are saved. They've all been trying to get on to me about being saved, they've been preaching, but I can't see it. But please don't ask me that Sunday school stuff to come to Jesus." Then I was just a youngster in my 20s. Did I ever get this? I stood there and inwardly prayed, "Lord, show us." We quoted all of this. You could think of John 3:16, John 5:24, Romans 10:9, and so on. Just like a flash, the Spirit of God said, quote Isaiah 53:5, which I did. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I said, sir, I want to change a word there. Little word R, I want to put in the word my. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am your. Oh, he says, I see it. I see it as if Christ were hanging right there before me. Now I see it. Say, what is it? He took my place. He bore the penalty for me. He bore the penalty against my sin. And the tears began to flow down that manly face. Oh, I see. I said, sir, do you really see? I do. Do you really believe he died for you first? Yes, I believe Christ died for all mankind. But never until now did I realize he died for me personally. Now I must personally put in my claim. Personally receive him into my life. And I do it right now. He clasped his hand, my hand and his. Together we prayed. That very day that man passed from death unto life, gloriously converted. He realized the truth. Christ only died for all mankind. He died for him personally. Many something not in this auditorium. And you really believe Christ died for all mankind, including you? For you never realize he died for you personally. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity, bearing shame and scarlet root in my place, condemned his third. And you have not yet put in your personal claim, and then received him by faith into your heart. If not, why not? This very night. For remember, he was wounded. Wounded. According to the surgeon, there are five distinct wounds. They're classified thus. There is the contused wound caused by a blow from a blunt instrument. There is a lancet wound that's caused by a sharp tearing instrument. There is a perforated wound. It comes from the Latin root, it means to pierce right through. And there's a penetrating wound caused by a sharp pointed instrument. And lastly, there is the incised wound caused by a sharp two-edged instrument. Beloved, do you realize when you sing or when you repeat, he was wounded, all these five wounds are included in that one word, he was wounded, and for my transgression. The contused wound that took that blunt instrument to reed, and the smirking with that reed, the made that lash, made of goat's hair, intertwined the hair, piece of bone, and piece of steel, and every time that lash came down, it was tearing the tissues, making long the furrows, in his holy back, right there. He gave his back to the smiters. Those that plucked the hairs from his lovely face, he turned and not aside. He, my friend, when the lashing came there with that lash, he never said, you've gone far enough, go no farther. No, he's standing surety for the stranger. He's standing surety for you, surety for me. He's bearing, my friend, the lash for you and for me. And he never opened his mouth. Oh, friend, because I'm more amazed at the power that God's Son held back more than the power he displayed while here on earth. He could have withered the hand raised against him and lashing him. He could have called 12 legion angels to his aid at any moment. But in love for you and in love for me, he never said a word. He suffered silently because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he loved me. But I thanked him. Have you? If not, will you do it tonight? Do it tonight. Right now. And thank him for being wounded for you. Remember how they took that crown of thorns. The praise done upon his kingly brow. Then they smote him with that rod. Until the very spikes penetrated into that kingly brow. And the blood spurt out. They come down at face once calmly so beautiful. Now furrowed with rows of grief. Those rows of grief are now crimson with that rich royal blood. There we see him taking that cross. And it pressed those nails. They knocked those nails, those spikes. For those lovely hands had done so much good. Those lovely feet, bringing measure of glad tidings and peace. The nail through that Roman gibbet. He lifted up there upon that cross. He let down the socket prepared for such a thud. Every one of his bones were rent out of joint. One bone dislocated causes terrible pain, but all his bones were dislocated. All my bones stare me in the face, all my bones that can be numbered, he said. He suffered for you and for me. You know, this is the first time nails were ever used in crucifixion. The first time. The two manufacturers were hung up by cords like your Jew always did in crucifixion. Crucifixion was not something new. My friend, those lovely hands were nailed cruel, spike cruel. Not the Roman manufacturers. No. The first time nails were used were right there. And the Jews will never be able to understand as they cry, what are those wounds in thine hands? In Guelph, Ontario, where Mr. Woodhouse has just been, in a cathedral there, it was out of bounds for the students at Bible school, but they could go to some of the faculty. They came one day and said, Uncle Jim, will you please take us down to the cathedral? I won't tell you why it was out of bounds for them, by the way. They said, yes. Went down there and the tapestry is the life of the Lord Jesus. And there you could see Joseph Arimathea taking the body down from the cross, removing those spikes from his lovely hands. And then Luke said, Uncle Jim, that's what you said last night. Look, the malefactors are bound up by cord. But there Christ is taking the nails out of his hands and feet, not the malefactor. And friend, those nails were nailed through for you and for me. The good of haste and death, as you so well remember in the story, they came to the malefactor, the robber, the brave lady, went to the other brave lady. But when they came to Christ, they marveled, they wondered, they were amazed, he's dead already. See, his death champion, his death victor. And when he died, he did not become obedient unto death as an enemy. He became obedient to the will of God, the Father, which meant death. And in obedience to the Father's will and love for you and for me, voluntary, willingly. He died as he willed to die and when he willed to die. He said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. They're so startled that they take their hands like knife and spear, the two-edged instrument, and they plunge that spear right into his side. And from that side flow falls the blood and the water, proof conclusively that he had died. He cried, the very spear that pierced his side drew forth the blood to save. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad, my friend, that precious, rich God's blood was shed upon that cross and shed for you? Shed for me. I'm so glad about it. Let us again just look for one moment. No longer at the cross because the cross is empty. No longer at the grave because the grave is vacated. Right here in this delightful little chapel tonight down here at Park of the Palms. In the quiet hush of this evening, all the Lord is right here. And he's near to you and your neighbor and he's saying, come close to me. Behold the nail prints. It was for you. Beloved, it was for you. Wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Thy wounds, Lord Jesus. Those deep, deep wounds will tell the sacrifice that frees us from sin and death. Amen. Evil his head, his hands his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down, and there's its love and sorrow meet. The thorns composed with the crown, where the whole realm of nature lies. That were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, shall have my heart, my life, my all. Oh, I pray your heart is in vain. Sequel to that story I told you about that Catholic Christian at that mill that day. Some months after we were down in Dartford in Kent, and down just near outside of London, England. It was an upper room, and we preached the Word of God. We told the story about that Catholic Christian. Sitting in that congregation that night was a young girl, a princess from India. Strikingly charming, good-looking young lady. Then the service, she went to the elder and said, I've been saved tonight. Said, saved? What do you mean? Says, when the preacher told the story about that Catholic Christian, and seeing the first time Christ had died for him personally, I was just there. That was my problem. I believe Christ died for all mankind, but I had never realized that he died for me personally. And I had personally put in my claim and personally received Christ into my heart. It's a personal matter. And tonight I've done that very thing. I have received Christ, and tonight I'm saved. 5 years ago, back yonder in London, England, I was speaking at a rally for women. I've never seen so many women in all my life at one time as I did at that particular rally. And thinking the preliminaries would be all over, I moved in toward the main auditorium, and just to hear the chair lady saying something like this: it is possible I know Mr. Boswell longer than any other lady in this great congregation today. 34 years ago in Kent, in Dartford, he led me to Christ. Who was it? The young princess. Now married to a druggist back in London, England. Their two sons have just left university within recent years. Isn't it wonderful? And all in Christ Jesus. The Lord is here tonight. Right here. And he's saying, beloved, it was for you. One more illustration. I'm going to read two verses of scripture, and I'm going to give it the closing hymn. At a place called Tooting, again in part of England, London, Greater London, there's a great military hospital there. The late Duke of Windsor, when he was Prince of Wales, went to visit that particular hospital. There were 25 soldiers there who had been critically wounded and very ill. They showed him 20 of the soldiers. He spoke kindly to them, words of comfort, words of encouragement. He asked to see the other 5. They said, Your Majesty, we'd rather you didn't see them. They're very badly marred and disfigured. He said, I insist on seeing them. They showed him 3. Again he thanked them and spoke kindly to them. Said, I'd like to see the other 2. He said, Your Majesty, for your own sake, we'd rather you didn't. Said, I insist on seeing them. They took him to 1. His heart was strangely moved, and he insisted on seeing the last 1. He said, Your Majesty, we'd rather you didn't. He's so badly mutilated. The prince said, I do long to see him. They took him in. There was a trunk, arms, legs had been amputated. He's blind, terribly disfigured. The Prince of Wales, whatever you think of, has thought about him. He had a heart. And tears rolled down that man's face. He bent over and he kissed that soldier and said, Thank you for being wounded for me. You were wounded for me. You did it all for me. Tonight I present one to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded for you. But thank God is alive from the dead, a living glorious Lord, is able to come into your life tonight, transform the life, give you that peace and that joy. My Lord is not only the bringer of peace, the inspirer of joy, the commissioner of his people, he dispels all your doubts. For when Thomas had seen the Lord, my Lord and my God, and what the Lord Jesus said in the two closing verses of the chapter, I wish I were just beginning now. Verse 29. Jesus says unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Now get this. Get this. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You're believing by the eye of faith tonight. Thomas saw and he believed, and Christ is very real to you tonight, isn't he? Now look at the two verses. Many other signs that truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But, get this now, notice that but. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. How do you have it? You've listened to the testimony tonight, haven't you? You've listened to the record God given concerning his Son. He was wounded for you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it in your heart? What does the Bible say? Look, what does the last verse say? But these are written that ye might believe. Believe what? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And now know this. And that all because Jesus was wounded for me. Now there's no button holding or in due pressing. But if tonight you believe in your heart, you want to tell us about it, you come and say, Jim, I receive Christ tonight. I realize he died for me personally upon that cross, and I received him as my very own Lord and Savior. If you're not too sure what it means, you write to tell him, tell us about it. There are many willing to have it to help you tonight. And if you're a Christian, and you have been living in a backslidden condition, you've seen the Lord, haven't you? He's calling you back to him. Will you come tonight? Will you tell him? God bless you, and thank you so much for coming.